Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 17, 2020. My new article on LinkedIn: the vaccine for COVID-19 must touch the heart. One by one, countries are scrambling to sign billion-dollar contracts to buy non-existent vaccines to COVID-19. At the moment, the development of an effective vaccine is highly questionable, at least according to WHO Secretary General Antonio Guterres and White House coronavirus advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci, who both stated that an effective vaccine is unlikely in the foreseeable future, if ever. We need to understand that the coronavirus is not a standalone event, it is the first in a series of crises that will eventually drive us out of our self-centered mindset and compel us to become considerate and eventually caring toward each other and toward nature. But even if a vaccine is developed, it will not end our troubles. In fact, it will only exacerbate them, and for a good reason. We need to understand that the coronavirus is not a standalone event, it is the first in a series of crises that will eventually drive us out of our self-centered mindset and compel us to become considerate and eventually caring toward each other and toward nature. The more we use every crisis to advance toward that state, the easier that crisis will be, and the easier will be the crises that will follow. Put differently, the more efforts we make to change voluntarily, the less efforts nature will make to force us to change. At the moment, humanity and the rest of reality are on opposite trajectories. While everything around us is connected, we people think more and more only of ourselves. We are oblivious or indifferent to the harms we're causing one another and to all of nature, and we want only to satisfy our most immediate whims. But 8 billion people cannot live like that, it's unsustainable. And because nature does not work like that, and we are subject to nature's dictates, as much as we may not like the idea, nature will force us to change course and align ourselves with it. Therefore, the sooner we reroute, the less pain nature will have to apply to us, in order to impel us to do what it wants. It turns out that there is an effective cure to COVID-19, but it has nothing to do with medicine and everything to do with our hearts. When we change our attitudes, change our hearts from alienation to integration, care, compassion, and mutual responsibility, we will discover that we have defeated the virus without even fighting it. In fact, by doing so, we will not only protect ourselves against the coronavirus, but against all the future blows that nature plans to land on us, to the extent that we refuse to align ourselves with its dictate, to become considerate, connected, and caring for our fellow people and all of creation. Michael Leitman, on Quora, is God the laws of nature? To start with, I would like you to read an excerpt by Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam, from his article The Peace, It Is Best for Us, to Meet Halfway and Accept the Words of the Kabbalists, that nature has the same numerical value, in Hebrew, as the word God, 86. Then I'll be able to call the laws of God the commandments of nature and vice versa, for they are one and the same, and we need discuss it no further. The problem with society today is that we follow laws opposite to the laws of nature. Human nature, which is egoistic, that is, concerned solely with personal benefit, is a destructive force that opposes nature. In other words, while the laws of nature are laws of love and bestowal, which harmoniously connect between all of nature's parts and consider the benefit of the whole, the human ego divisively exploits other people and nature for its personal gain. Therefore, instead of following the laws of nature, we have invented our own laws, ethics, civil and religious, and we have discovered over 200 physical laws. It is as if we try to find our way in the dark, and slip over, hurt ourselves on sharp objects, bump into each other and knock down furniture by accident. That is, we enter into bigger and bigger crises the more we develop, with no awareness of nature's laws. What, then, does it mean to gain awareness of the laws of nature? It means that we learn and exercise how to positively connect in society so that there will be an envelope of love and care in our relations. In other words, by connecting as a single whole in human society, we match nature's wholeness, and we then experience newfound harmony, happiness, confidence and peace filling our lives. Especially in our present times, as we experience tightening interdependence all around the world, we need the laws of nature, or God's commandments, laws of love, to become revealed between everyone and everything. We need to see such an attitude as something outside our current reach, and which we need to learn and implement on ourselves if we want to experience better lives. Otherwise, we can expect more and more unfortunate pains and suffering in order to bring us to the inevitable same conclusion, that we need to learn and exercise love for one another. That is why I and my organization, the Benny Baruch Kabbalah Education and Research Institute, invest so much in spreading the message of connection to the world. We provide courses and an entire study and community framework for anyone who wants to study these laws of nature on a deeper level. However, even just encountering such messages as short articles, videos and other media online holds value in adding to humanity's much needed awareness about the laws of nature in our times. It is my hope that such growing awareness will spare humanity from much future suffering, and that in its place, we will discover a world of love and positive connection, balanced with nature. Fans. In the news, Teen Vogue, in a now viral post, a BTS, K-pop boy band, fan on Twitter used the seven-member group to explain the components of an animal cell. I'm a biology major and I love the sciences, so I thought it would be cool to incorporate my studies into it. I thought about their respective personalities and roles in the group and tried my best to connect that to the roles of various organelles within the cell. Question: can we compare the way the cell functions as a model for building a group or a society? Answer: basically, yes. We know that every organism is made of contrasting parts, but they have to connect in a certain way for the sake of sustaining and creating a new complex integral organism. The basis of this connection is that each of them bends itself in the direction of the common view, common role, and common goal. This means that to a certain extent each one subdues and lowers itself, even destroys something about itself, and definitely limits itself in order to create one vital, multi-purpose, coordinated organism. It should be such an organism that can play with its different parts in any situation, and thus add totally different features from its internal attributes. What is more, these features should already be complex and of high standard. For example, when different musical instruments connect into one gigantic musical instrument, an orchestra, their emotions, expressions, and sensations all connect, and thus produce a unique combination of sounds. Question: when a nuclear cell is first created from non-nuclear cells, it is created as a result of an aggressive environment. How can a human organism be created without the impact of an aggressive environment but as a result of a positive impact? Answer: it is impossible without an aggressive impact. There must be a common enemy of all the parts so they will begin to connect thanks to it. There cannot be a positive impact that will lead to connection because we are made solely of egoistic matter. So there needs to be great external scares and threats in order to overcome our egoism. Perhaps then I will be able to subordinate myself to the rest, let's say before a certain group, and enter it so they will feel that they benefit from me because I am ready to annul myself before them and enter them as an absolute integral part. Question: does this mean that now unity in society is simply impossible? Answer: it is not possible in any way. Society needs to feel the threat of annihilation, and only then will it be able to think about uniting integrally, because the whole unity is based on my obedience to others. Remark: in human society, in a collective, in a regiment, it is possible for a person who fulfills a certain function to say at a certain point, that's it, Enough, I am tired, I cannot carry on any longer. My comment, no. When people begin to connect to each other, they work in such a way that their unity positively affects them. They see progress and a positive outcome. If at first we have to escape death, when we begin to connect, a new life spreads before us, a new level. This is a different matter. Here different positive components begin to emerge that draw us forward. Of course, the initial state is merely the fear of death, which means escape from death. Question: according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, what is the name of the state that we acquire as we cooperate in the group? Answer: unity. When each one begins to see a part of himself in others and understands that without connecting to others he will not be able to feel the new life. The new life is felt on a new level. You cannot convey this to people who do not feel it because you have to actually annul yourself and enter others, connect to them, and in the mutual connection between you, you feel the totally new state, a new life. Life is where you feel others instead of yourself. This is an incredible feeling, and it is beyond the framework of our life. Your personal, individual life is the feeling of yourself, while here, we begin to feel others and actually accept them as our life. This means that everything that exists outside of me is called spiritual life, and everything that exists inside of me is called corporeal life. Yet I cannot enter this state and annul myself, even if I can expect good things and unearthly feelings. I cannot overcome my ego, which is an obstacle on my way to connecting with others. There must be a real breakthrough here, and only a terribly great fear can provide that. There is a way to overcome fear easily, if a person enters such a group in advance, wants to connect to others, joins them, cooperates with them, and so on. In any case, a real entrance to a group is accompanied by fear of being thrown out, which means actual spiritual death for a person. The motivation is great, because by doing so I begin to feel life outside myself. When I feel myself, I feel my corporeal life has come to an end, if not today, then tomorrow, but when I exit myself, I begin to feel life outside myself, which is eternal and whole. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, December 2nd, 2018. Managing Stress, Part 3. Stress, disease or habit. Question: there are three main stages of stress. The first is the stage of anxiety. It is said that it is a positive one because it mobilizes the body's defense forces to fight the stress. The second stage is adaptation. If the person's body at the psychological or physiological level does not adapt to this pressure, then the stress passes into the third stage, the stage of depletion of the body's resources, and the person begins to get sick. Do you agree with this? Answer: in general, yes. However, the fact is that a person gets so used to this state that he no longer imagines himself operating outside of the feeling of stress. He needs something to cheer him up, put him in his place, and shake him up. Therefore, stress becomes as if necessary, meaning a part of life, a habit. Comment: it turns out that stress in the first stages causes a person to aim to achieve some goal. When he does not achieve it, it makes him depressed. They say that all diseases are caused by nerves. My response: this is absolutely correct. Nerves regulate the entire organism. The state of various systems of the body, their mutual, well-coordinated work, depends on them. Therefore, they cause all diseases. Question: can a person experiencing stress be considered sick? Answer: stress is not a long-term disease. It can be short and impulsive. However, it is, of course, a disease. Question: is stress related to the development of psychosomatic diseases, or is the cause of disease in another area? Answer: in principle, stress depends only on a lack of confidence. If confidence disappears, then there is stress. From CAB TV's Management Skills, June 25, 2020. Why do we try to change everything around us, but not ourselves? Question. We are always trying to change everything around us, for example, the leader of the governing party, our spouse, place of residence, everything except for one thing, ourselves. Why doesn't a person realize that the only thing they can change is their attitude to the world? Answer, our egoism does not allow us to realize it. To change myself means that I am not good, I must improve myself. Why should I do this? This is the hardest work that requires a lot of effort, energy, investment, and annulling myself before others. It is against our nature to yield to others. It is not easy. Only if a person has a very big goal in front of them can they force themselves to do it. For example, if we want to achieve some goal while studying at that university, then it is more important for us than just lying on the couch. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 7, 2020. New Life 1262. One Global Culture.
שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו, אנחנו כאן עם חיים חדשים, סדרת התוכניות עם הרב דוקטור מיכאל לייטמן, שלום לך, הרב לייטמן.
שלום, שלום, שלום.
שלום, טל מנדלבום בן משה.
שלום.
מספר התוכנית שלנו היום הוא 1262, והנושא הוא תרבות גלובלית. אנחנו חיים בעולם שבו יש הרבה תרבויות משחר ההיסטוריה עד היום. המגמה היא של איזו התכנסות למשהו משותף, ננסה לבחון את זה לאן זה הולך בדרך לחיים חדשים. תהיו איתנו, טל, בואי תפתחי את הדיון בבקשה.
Open the discussion, please. Okay, so researchers, scientists are saying that there's a certain direction to history. They say that we are moving from a situation where you had many small local cultures, and gradually we're entering a state where cultures become fewer but larger, and in the future they say there will be one common global culture. And we began to feel it happening with globalization, the economy becoming interconnected, all sorts of things that become global brand names, same foods. We see that the Eastern teachings reach the West, the Western teachings reach the East, and so on. We want to know where this is going. Are we advancing towards one collective common culture? What does it mean? So as far as you see it, Dr. Lightman, what do you say about the development of cultures in humanity? Dr. Lightman, we need to come closer together ultimately, all the peoples, all the cultures, to the point where it's one people and one language. Tal, so what does it mean? Because we're so complex, there's a lot of variation. People are very individualistic as well. Each one lives in his own world. What does it mean, one world, one culture? Dr. Lightman, these things are rather external. We're not that different. Ultimately, human beings are the will to receive, the will to enjoy. And so we just want to arrange a good life for ourselves. And good, everywhere, that's food, sex, family, money, respect, knowledge. It depends on the height of the person and the society, but that's what there is ultimately. And so there's no great difference between us. One likes this, the other likes that. You can have that within a nation, within a people, and in the world. It's something that separates us. Tal, is it true that history, the developmental process, is bringing us towards a state of one culture? Dr. Lightman, yes, of course, we see this happening. The clothes that you're wearing and the clothes I'm wearing, they came from abroad, all sorts of places, and same with our food and furniture, and so on. We're already in the integral world. It's impossible to tell by what someone wears or eats, even that it's a certain person from a certain place in the world, because everything is so mixed together. We've all been abroad more than once probably, and we've seen how you have all sorts of restaurants, flavors, trends, and everything. Well, no, I don't see any difference. I don't see this as any reason for humanity to be so divided, so separated. This is not what's causing us separation, distancing. Owen, what does cause separation between us and puts distance between us? Dr. Lightman, only our ego, only our ego. It needs to be more restricted, diminished, better ordered. We need to keep careful watch over it in order to align it towards connection between us. Owen, if we look beyond external characteristics, like the way a person looks or dresses, if we talk about values, when we talk about the global culture, what would be the values about which you could say that they're global values that unites people and doesn't matter from what country? Dr. Lightman, first of all, connection. Oh, and what does connection mean? Dr. Lightman, connection means that we relate, we treat each other well, and we're willing to support each other mutually. Whatever you here or this lady here wants in life, I need to feel that I'm willing and ready to help, to contribute, to make your life better. And the same with you with respect to me. Oh, and so you see this as the global culture? It's a very positive culture, Dr. Lightman. Of course, otherwise it can't be called culture. Otherwise it's just war. Oh, and unfortunately this is the culture we've lived through, well, throughout history, its entirety, if you think about it. Dr. Lightman, well, I'm saying what needs to be. Oh, so when you talk about the global culture, you speak about a profound change in how people treat each other in a more friendly way based on the desire to do good to each other. Dr. Lightman, yes. Tal, okay, I want to add in that respect. There's something historians call the end of history, and they're saying we're coming to a state of a certain, an end, from which either humankind will extinguish itself, make itself go extinct, or we turn into something new. So are we coming to that end point? Dr. Lightman, we're coming to a point where we have to make a decision, a pivot, where either we change on our own, or pressure exerts, or our nature exerts such pressure on us that we are forced to change to become better to each other. Owen, how is nature related to human culture? Dr. Lightman, we live within nature, and so everything we have, our behavior, is a result of the way nature affects us. Owen, okay, look, human beings didn't come from nowhere. We came from the animal world, right? We develop. Yes? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, okay, so in nature there is a circle of life. There's the predator and the predated. One eats the other, and that feeds another one. There's this wonderful web that creates this fabric of life, and this, perhaps there's some rationale there, planned, but the individual like elements live in the world of constant war for survival. So I think our perception is the same kind, survival. We're in a state of war. Dr. Lightman, we are animals, of course. I agree with you. Oh, and so why are you so optimistic? You're looking forward, telling me about positive global culture where people will want to do good to each other? Dr. Lightman, because we have no choice. Gradually we're discovering that we cannot keep living on Earth. It becomes hostile to us. It acts against us, all of nature. And we too treat each other so badly. We want to devour each other and not to leave each other even a little, anything for subsistence. And there's no alternative here, no choice. We will have to, because of the blows we ourselves are eliciting from nature, we will understand that we must change our nature from evil to good. And when we will see that this is impossible to do by our own power, then we will understand, it will be revealed, that there is an upper force that we can use to change. There is a feeling lately that the tensions, the friction is only intensifying. If you look at, nature, of course, but if you look at companies and societies in Israel, in the United States, you see that people are just more in war between them. There's more friction. Are we truly reaching that point? Why is there such hatred between people in this time? Dr. Lightman. Yes. Yes, our ego is constantly growing, and it allows us no way to live except under its pressure. So how do we get to a state where our culture of war turns into some positive culture, a culture of mutual love? Dr. Lightman, well, there is this pivot point at the end where there is no choice, we must change ourselves. And then this opening is revealed, this gate, where we can shout and cry to the upper force, nature, to change us. So change happens from that feeling, Dr. Lightman, from the recognition of evil. And then this need awakens in a person for something new? Dr. Lightman, yes, we cry out, because we cry help, because we cannot do anything more, and then change comes. And if we'll be optimistic like you are, and we see a global culture that's positive, there's positivity there, people want to help each other. Now, from that, I want to return one step back to where we are today. If I look at the world to see, to look for some process like this, of a global culture, or a microcosm of that, here, not far from here, in Europe, they try to create the European Union, a certain kind of collective culture. I don't see this did anything good. Dr. Lightman, of course not, because they didn't think of how to create unity between them. They thought about how to benefit the banks, not the people actually, not the European people, but only the wealthy among them, only the elites. So what was lacking and what needs to be added in order to build a good global culture? Dr. Lightman, there wasn't any plan by which they intended to bring human beings, people, Europeans, together. Dr. Lightman, what do you mean by that? Dr. Lightman, to feel them, to understand them, to come close to them, not just to open the borders, but to open the hearts. Owen, the global culture will develop a person's heart? Is that correct to say? Dr. Lightman, yes. He needs to feel his neighbors, at least, where he lives within the 30 nations of Europe. He needs to feel that they are like his own people. And is this a kind of emotional evolution for us, for human beings? Dr. Lightman, yes. An individual living in such a culture, regardless of what country he's from, if he lives within a state of this, a positive global culture, what will he feel in his life that we don't know today? How will he experience it? Dr. Lightman, he will feel that he lives in a great big house called Europe, and everyone, or his family, members of his household, no difference between them. Oh, and if we open it up, it's not just Europe ultimately, yes? Dr. Lightman, yes, the whole world. Oh, and will the person feel he lives in one big home, house? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, and what will this allow him, permit him, that he cannot do now? Like, on a personal level in his life, this feeling, where will it carry him? Dr. Lightman, the more he rises above his ego to connect with other people, he will be able to build his life, to build a much better, safer life for himself. Such where you don't need police, you don't need the army, you don't need the court system, prisons, anything that restricts a person by use of force. He relates differently to life. Oh, and so these parallel mechanisms become useless, redundant. Dr. Lightman, yes. Oh, and then what replaces them? What maintains order? Dr. Lightman, the goodwill of man. Tal, this sounds utopian. Dr. Lightman, of course it sounds utopian today, but we can come close to it. Because, look, 2,000 years ago, 200 years ago, you couldn't imagine that Europe could live without borders. I used to travel much from one state to another, and you barely had any. You didn't have this. Well, you had a sign saying you're now entering Bulgaria, etc. Tal, we talked about a system of harmony in nature. Is a world without borders the natural state of humanity? Dr. Lightman, it has to be as one man in one heart, one single family, and everyone needs to live without any fear. And after that it will become one language, one culture, everything. Tal, we'll actually speak a single language, communicate that way. Dr. Lightman, yes, of course, why not? Why do we need so many things to separate us? Tal, okay, so to begin with, why are there so many differences between us, so many languages, if this is our natural state? Dr. Lightman, so that we will skip above those things and build ourselves up as one humanity. Tal, will people not feel that they're losing their identity, uniqueness? Dr. Lightman, well, even now, perhaps I'm not speaking my native tongue, and culture now is not my original culture. It breaks through all the... We're all fed by Hollywood, that music industry. We don't even understand exactly what we're feeding on. Right? When was the last time that some European really wanted his own indigenous music, Carpathians, for example? Tal, I'm thinking about the French who hold to the culture with great pride. Dr. Lightman, well, a few years more. Tal, yes, but there is a process where local cultures are disintegrating and people are sorry about that, and you say that there's nothing to be sorry about? Dr. Lightman, I don't participate with sorrow, not sorrow. I know that there's a trend here, independent of human beings, meant to bring us to one single world that we share. And so, whether you're sorry about it or not, you won't be able to stop the trend. Oh, when you talk about this single one united world, it's so beautiful, it's so even moving that I can't even perceive it as something real and possible. This world won't fall from the heavens, right? People need to build it. No, Clarman. But we're seeing being built today. We talked about France. I go to Paris, yes, a large city, and I see, where are the French? You can see them. I go to the United States, and there clearly this is modern Babylon. London, it's the same. Meaning today, what's happening? You have a world which in a few short years the most central cultural, the culture centers became Babylon, intermixed completely. Oh, and when I finished my army service in Israel, I took a big bag and went out to travel the world, and I met wonderful people from all cultures, and sometimes I felt so connected to them in my heart that it was just like one world. But the world is also filled with many evil forces. Dr. Lightman, okay, well. Oh, and well, you paint this nice picture for me, and I would really give everything to have my children live in that world, but I don't understand how the evil will vanish from the world. What causes the evil forces to vanish from the world, and how will we create this heaven, this paradise? Dr. Lightman, this will come. Let things develop. Our ego keeps developing, bringing us to states of collision between us. From that we learn that we cannot interact nicely with each other, and we suffer. And ultimately we will decide that we have to rise above our ego and to build new relationships. Oh, and what would bring us to such a profound decision? Dr. Lightman, the understanding that the gains are better than the losses, egoistically. Owen, meaning? Dr. Lightman, meaning that everyone hates each other, they're not allowing others to be happy. I see that even today there are such initiatives, there is a desire to remove borders, to defund police, let's invest in community, we don't need all these things, more liberal initiatives. Do you think it can succeed in the conditions we have today? Dr. Lightman, I don't think you can do it immediately. You need to precede it with special education that explains to the person what his nature is and how to transcend the current egoistic nature and interact and connect differently. Owen, so give me a few basic points here. What is the original nature of man? Dr. Lightman, ego, the desire to rule, to control others, to build yourself upon the ruins of another. Oh, and so how do we advance towards positive interaction when our basic nature is evil, negative? Dr. Lightman, again? Owen, after you defined to me that the natural desire of man is to control others and exploit them for his benefit, is this how nature created us? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, so it's not good, it's not bad, it's just what it is, right? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, so from such elements, with that nature, how do you create a world with positive interaction, positive connections? It's opposite to their inherent nature. So how would we come to a positive culture? Dr. Lightman, by lack of choice, this called recognition of evil, where we understand the evil in our system, in our being, me wanting to do bad to others, that harms me. It's to my detriment. And we have no choice here then but to change ourselves. Me and him both. Such that we relate well to each other, help each other. How much can you suffer? This is the meaning of coming to the recognition of evil. Tal, and what keeps one within this social framework so that he can behave and comport himself correctly and there won't be crime, all these things we're trying to limit? What will guard him? Dr. Lightman, the fear of having problems, troubles, look, I'm deteriorating here. What state am I reaching? What's going to happen with me, my family, the world? So a person needs to have this, to be conscious of the fact that with his actions he affects everyone? Dr. Lightman, yes. Owen, if there's this recognition, as you said before, that human nature is egoistic and this causes us to damage each other, to make each other miserable, and that's what's making our lives miserable. Okay, so the diagnosis, they say, is half the cure. So we have the diagnosis. So what's the cure now? How can a person invert his nature so that it becomes positive to others? Dr. Lightman, only through collective desire, the more we try to connect together above our evil nature, then our efforts, they raise a request to nature, a request for the positive force. Dr. Lightman, who do we want to Owen, who do we want to receive the positive force from? Owen, from nature. It's inherent in nature, and we simply want this desire, this good force to be revealed in us, to control us, above the evil force, instead of it or above it. So in this new global culture we're headed towards, you could say that the person is connected to nature? The Brightman, yes. Oh, and he's also connected to the people around him. Yes, so we have this triangle here. Dr. Lightman, yes, me and the society and nature, and I connect to the society, and I ask nature to enable me to be connected to people in a good way, mutually. Oh, and how will this affect the global ecology? Dr. Lightman, of course we won't want to harm the ecology or anything, just to keep the good things. Tal, and who governs the world? Dr. Lightman, a person's approach, his desire to see himself in a balanced world. Tal, okay, but today you have governments, people making decisions. Dr. Lightman, of course you'll have those, but in the future, if we're talking about that, then as today we elect representatives, we will elect such governments which will take care of us properly. Owen, so I'm sorry to say our show is coming to an end, to a close. So the global culture, what would it be like? Dr. Lightman, the global culture needs to be a global connection between humans, between people all around the earth, such that we build a culture, education system, a society, from the individual to the family, to the nation, and all over the planet, we will build a single method, good connection to benefit people, such that this is what each one wants to have, and by that we guarantee a good future for ourselves. Oh, and amen. Thank you. Tal, thank you, Dr. Lightman. Thank you all for being with us. New Life Learning, to live well. All the best and goodbye.